Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Right now, we're turning to Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and we're going to discover how to strive together with excellence. Here's Paul Chappell.
There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So here they are on the plain of Dura. The image is set up. The band gets cranking up. Man, they're just really, really grooving with the band, you know, and everybody's in the mood. And suddenly the command is given and everybody's like at a rave dance. And suddenly, wham, they bow down to the god. But there's a problem. There's three men standing at attention. Three men who wouldn't bow down. Three men who had convictions in their heart. Francis Schaeffer said, here is the great evangelical disaster. The failure of the evangelical world to stand for truth as truth. There is only one word for this, namely accommodation. The evangelical church has accommodated to the world spirit of the age. And I'm afraid to tell you, my friend, that there are those so-called Christians today who in that moment, and perhaps many of us, in a moment of weakness, would say, well, you know, we don't want to make waves here. We can just do a little bow down-y time here to the God, even though I don't really mean it, but, you know, just to blend in so as not to offend. But that was not the mood nor the conviction of those three Hebrew children. They would not bow. They stood by faith in their God. Acts 4 and verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, the man who fears only God need fear no one else. And what we need in America today are Christians who will stand, and even if it means times of suffering, that we will stand up for what is right and not bow down to the gods of this world. The Apostle Paul had times in his life where he said only the Lord stood with him. And so it is many times in our lives. They they stood with faith and they stood with courage. Notice in verse 16 what happens amazingly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will serve thy gods. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now notice that phrase in verse number 18. But if not, he said, our God is able to deliver us, Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to know that even if he doesn't choose to deliver us, we will still be faithful to our God. Friend, that is the test of our faith. Sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going to be a faithful Christian in 2011 as long as I have my job, as long as I get my promotion, as long as my wife is good, as long as my kids are good, as long as the preacher preaches 37 minutes. I am going to be really faithful to God. But if any of those things don't happen, I'll have to check out and just see what else I might want to do. You know what they said? We are going to be faithful to our God. We are going to trust in him to preserve us. But if he chooses to let us perish, we are still going to be faithful to our God. Amen. How many of you men would say that's some strong conviction right there? That's some strong faith in the Lord. But if not, we will be faithful to our God. They were very, very courageous in their stand. We see the raising up of an idol, and the world is raising idols today and telling Christians, bow to this one, bow to that one. We see, secondly, the refusal of idolatry by men of conviction. But notice, thirdly, this morning, the rescue of God's men. Now, you got to see this. This is the best part of the story. Look at verse number 19 in chapter number 3. The Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. That means when you looked at his face, you could tell he was ticked off. He was so angry. And he was angry against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. Righteous people suffer. Good people have difficult times. Good people, sometimes just because they pray at work for their meal, they're going to be made fun of. Good people sometimes go to the hospital and have sickness. Good people go through the fire. Good people have times of suffering, but good people also have God with them. If they have accepted Christ as their Savior, there is one with them, one within them. And in this passage, we see something very spectacular, as within Abraham's life in Genesis 18, when the Lord came to Abraham, as with Joseph's life, or Joshua's life rather, in Joshua chapter 5, when the captain of the host of the Lord came to Joshua. So we see here in the burning fiery furnace what theologians refer to as a theophany, which is an Old Testament appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. And what we see is the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the furnace with the three Hebrew children who would not bow down. And I want to tell you something. I don't know what furnace you're standing in, but if you're saved this morning, there's somebody standing there with you. And in fact, his name is Jesus Christ. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Thank God for men who were excellent in their stand, but sometimes your stand will bring suffering. And that's another opportunity to stand excellently for the Lord through times of suffering. And I got to tell you what, this morning, I thank God that I pastor a lot of people in this church who have taken the right stand for the Lord. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You're not ashamed of Christ. And I've pastored in my 25 years of pastoring this church some people who have suffered for their stand, and they've been ridiculed for their stand. And that brings us finally to this matter of being excellent in our spirit. Being excellent in our spirit. Now I have to tell you that over the years of watching people take a stand and watching people take time of suffering, there have been those who have stood and suffered and still maintain their sweet spirit. And there are some who through the years, even born-again Christians, who somewhere along the line their spirit changes. And all of a sudden they're a little edgy, and all of a sudden they're not as happy, and all of a sudden it seems like the battles and the suffering and taking a stand and all of their time as a Christian, it just, in some way, shape, or form, they've lost the spirit of it all. Have you ever seen somebody like that? You say, yeah, I'm married to him. No, not him. I'm talking about someone else. Sometimes it happens. The amazing thing about Daniel is not only his excellent stand, not only his excellence in suffering, but his excellent spirit. And I want you to see this as we close. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now please understand this today. Daniel was going to be given responsibility overseeing the resources, overseeing the stewardship of a kingdom. Not just because he was excellent with science, though that was established in chapter 1. Not just because he was excellent in knowledge, though that was also previously established. The reason Daniel rose to the top was because of his spirit. It was his attitude that determined his altitude. It was because of this man's excellent spirit that God began to magnify him. And one of the things we have to learn as Bible-believing Christians, as Bible-believing fundamental believers, is that yes, we must stand for the truth and never compromise, but we must do that with a smile on our face and the spirit of love in our heart, so that the world truly knows, not just by what we know, but by the way that we live, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now that excellent spirit was seen two ways. First, it was a positive spirit. He was a man in whom an excellent spirit dwelled. And I want you to look at Daniel 6:3. Notice, this Daniel was preferred. That means he distinguished himself. He was preferred because he had an excellent spirit. That means an extraordinary spirit, a spirit that was positive in an extraordinary way. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now you might say, well, I know my job better than anybody where I work. Fine. But that's not what's going to bring God's blessing in your life. You ever work with someone who says, well, I did exactly what I was told. That's exactly what I did, and I did it just the right way. But they may not be asked to do it the next time. Because it's not just about doing exactly what's told. It's about doing with an excellent spirit. With an excellent attitude. Let me illustrate it this way. Out in the desert, we have a lot of different kinds of birds. We have, for example, the Mojave Crow. The Mojave Crow is known for its power. The Mojave Crow has been known to carry large bags of trash, washers, dryers, and little children from place to place. How many have ever seen one of those crows out there? And they just go around the desert looking for stuff, don't they? But I have in my mind two different kinds of birds today. I have, first of all, I think about the vultures. There are vultures in the Mojave Desert. You drive out. Sometimes if you're out four-wheeling, you'll see them. Vultures basically fly over the deserts looking for rotting meat. They look on the roads. They look in the desert. They thrive on that diet. They look everywhere for rotten meat. Then I think about the hummingbirds. Hummingbirds fly all over the desert. They are looking not for rotten meat, but they are looking for bright flowers. They're looking for the sweet-smelling flower of the desert plants. And Lord knows we'll have a lot of those because of all the rain this year. It'll be a beautiful sight. Now the vultures live on what was. They live on the past, and they fill themselves with what is dead and gone. The hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it's looking for, and so do we. Some of you husbands need to stop living like a vulture, looking for dead meat, looking for problems. Some of you wives need to stop living like a vulture, seeing only the dead, rotten problems. And you need to begin like Daniel and like the hummingbird to look for the bright and the sweet, and you'll find it. You'll always find what you're looking for. You can walk even into the house of God as a vulture or a hummingbird. The vulture sees the dead meat. The hummingbird sees the sweet word of God, you see. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Tomorrow at work, you'll work with vultures and you'll work with hummingbirds. And tomorrow at work, you'll be a vulture or a hummingbird. But we see that Daniel was a hummingbird. Daniel was a man with an excellent, positive spirit. But someone says, how does that spirit get built? And how does that spirit stay maintained? Well, I want to close with this. I want you to see that Daniel had a positive spirit because Daniel had a prayerful spirit. A prayerful spirit. Daniel was a man who knew how to pray. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, you might imagine someone as sharp as Daniel, someone as favored as Daniel, there's going to be some people jealous of Daniel in the kingdom. And so the Bible tells us that there were people that came to Darius, and they began to make a plot against Daniel. And the only thing they could fault him for was the fact that this guy prayed all the time. They could not stand Daniel because he prayed three times a day. Well, let's pick that up, if you would, in chapter 6 there. And notice in verse number 8, it says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Let me give you some background. They went to the king. They said, king, this Daniel guy, he prays three times a day to the God of Jerusalem. He's praying to Jehovah God. He won't bow down to the God out on the plain of Dura. He won't bow down to the pagan gods. He only prays to Jehovah God. Let's make a law that you cannot pray to Jehovah God. You can pray to the God that represents all the gods, but you cannot pray to Jehovah God. Something like the ACLU would say today. Let's get rid of the Ten Commandments. Let's get rid of prayer. Let's belittle the name of Jesus Christ. You can pray to all the gods maybe somewhere, but not to the name of Jesus Christ specifically. And they passed a law. Now, I'm not trying to be silly this morning, but it wouldn't surprise me 50 years from now if there were those who would pass a law that would say it's against the law at your lunchtime at Northrop to pray for your lunch at lunchtime at the picnic tables. Say, well, I don't know that there's a problem doing that now. No, not now. But it would be similar to what they're saying Daniel was doing. Three times a day, morning, noon, and night, when it was his personal time, he would pray to God. And so they came to Darius and they began to make a tremendous deal about his prayer life. Now notice what happens in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now notice the prayer life. You say, I want to have a positive spirit. Notice where it came from. Three times a day, no matter what else was going on, no matter what the king said, no matter what the boss did or the other princes did, no matter what else was going on, three times a day, he got alone with God and he focused on the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God. Three times a day, he prayed toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got back up, went back to work, went back to his duties, and had an excellent spirit because he had an excellent prayer life with God. And I think we can learn from that prayer life. I want you to see a couple quick things. First, he prayed with devotion. Daniel prayed with devotion. Verse 10, he went into his house, he opened the windows, he was not ashamed to identify with God. He was not ashamed to identify. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Listen, this matter of not being ashamed of God is very, very important. And Daniel tells us that he prayed with devotion. Now friends, let me help you with something. We ought not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to love Him enough to recognize that every good thing and every blessing comes from Him. My friend, today, when you go out to eat, take a moment and stop and devotedly and thankfully thank God for providing the food you're about to eat. Some of you guys, 6'2", big strapping guys, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian in church. But you get around some buddies out at the base, or you get around some buddies at a construction site, and all of a sudden, it's a little bit different there. But I got to tell you, you're on your time, and there's a moment right there for you to show your devotion to God. And I've seen how some guys do it. So I'm like, well, just wait a minute. What was that? I was just saying a little prayer. Oh, I thought it was indigestion, maybe. I couldn't tell the difference. It's sad today how the homosexuals are out of the closet and the Christians are in the closet. Excuse me. I was at a meeting a few years ago. I remember it just like it was yesterday. They said that the mayor wants you to come and some city leaders, and maybe some preachers there, clergymen they called them. And we'd like you to come and see the vision for the city or something. Yeah, great. I have time on my calendar. I went to the lunch. I had a preacher on the other side. I'm not being critical. I'd not mention their names. But I'll never forget what they said. The man on the left pastors a large church in our area. He said, well, I prayed this morning. I guess we don't need to pray for this here now. The guy on the right didn't say nothing. He was already eating. I wasn't trying to one-up or, you know, be Mr. Pharisaical. But as Daniel did aforetime, I was going to do what I do and had done aforetime. I said, fellas, if you don't mind, I'm just going to give thanks to the Lord for this food he just gave us. I just took a moment to pray. Listen, when you go today to Denny's, or when you go to Hometown Buffet, or if God smiles favor upon you and you go to In-N-Out Burger today for lunch, the least you can do is stop and say thanks to the Lord with devotion. That's the kind of man Daniel was. He was devoted to his God. He prayed, secondly, with discipline. It says, as he did aforetime. In other words, this was a part of his life, of his schedule. He had a specific time, a specific place, a specific posture. And with dedication, he prayed to the Lord. And then notice not only his devotion, not only his discipline, but notice he prayed with gratitude, the Bible says in verse number 10. He prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Are any of you like me, you almost rush to asking God for stuff to the point you forget to thank Him? The other day I was praying, Lord, we need this and this and this for the church and this for this family and this for my family and this prayer request, Lord. And suddenly the Spirit of God said, wait a minute, what about that thankful part? And I had to put it in reverse and go back and say, Lord, excuse me. I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you for the church. I want to thank you for this blessing and that blessing and for this answered prayer. Philippians 4:6 tells us that we're to bring our request with thanksgiving to the Lord, you see. Let me ask you a question, friend. Are you striving with excellence today? Are you taking the right stand today, or are you negotiating with the devil? If you're going through a time of suffering, are you suffering with excellence for the Lord today? And if you are standing, and if you have been through some suffering, how's your spirit today? Are you a vulture Christian or a hummingbird Christian today? Daniel had an excellent spirit. May God help us this year to be excellent in our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, thank you for the time to get together today to study the life of Daniel. Help us to strive together with excellence, Lord.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.